Hallelujah. I will turn with me to Acts. I'm going to just kind of follow in on this. Go with me to Acts 3. 13, rather. Acts 13. Hallelujah. You know what? It's good. It feels good to be up in here. It feels good just to hear and feel the people's hearts. Okay? And so I'm just delighted to see everybody here. We're delighted to just be a part of what's going on. And if you're online and you want to participate, jump in. Jump in. Send a message. Hey, you can get up off your couch, okay? And just stomp on it a little bit. Stomp on it a little bit. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Dress code. There's got to be a dress code, I'm sure. Glory to God. Oh, there it is. It's 22. Okay. See, here's what we need to understand. When you're taking territory, there's a process. When you're taking territory, God is going to use you. He's going to speak to you, but then he has to have you come and do something with him. In other words, there's an opportunity for you to step in and come into an agreement with him. When he began to speak to Abraham and he began to tell him, I'm going to give you a land that you don't not of yet, but I want you to go and I just want you to go out. I want you to go out of where you are. I want you to go out of Haran where you've been comfortable. He had to step out of a place that he knew of. A place where they worshiped a god, a moon god who was basically called Sin. He had to step out of that place of worshiping a place called sin and step into a destination, going to a land he had not yet seen. But he began to join God on the mission. And the Lord said, I want you everywhere that your feet will tread, I'll give it to you. Everywhere that your feet will tread, I'll give it to you. Guess what? He didn't get to sit on the couch and get it. You don't get it by sitting on the couch. You get it because you began to go with. You began to go and say, Lord, okay, if it's going to be where my feet tread, Lord, then show me where my feet are supposed to tread. Show me where my feet are supposed to step. And I ask you just to go with me and walk with me, Lord. Show me how to walk in it. What? Show me how to jump in it. Show me how to be excited in it. Because Lord, if you got it for me, then I need to step with you. Hallelujah. And then we saw that even, you know, even when the land was already given to them, then they began to release it in succeeding generations. So we see that, as Isaac was setting up and he was going down to Gerar. But as he was going to Gerar, God said, I want you to turn around and I want you to plant yourself right here because I've already prospered you here. You haven't seen it yet, but I've prospered you here. I've prospered you here. And then he began to show him how to prosper here. He began to give him a witty idea and a witty invention. And he began to dig all these wells. And as he was digging all these wells, and I believe it's in Genesis 28 that you're seeing all this, as he's digging all these wells, that there was something that God began to use them and use an idea that had not yet been used, the irrigation of the land from a well. They had just waited on the rain up until that point in time. They just waited on the rain. In an agricultural society, your success is tied to whether or not there's water. And so God began to show them a new way to use another resource and another way to use the existing resources and have and step into the prosperity that he had. I'm telling you today, prophetically, God is going to give you new ways to prosper where you are at, new ways to prosper because you're coming alongside and you're letting him be the one who's speaking into your life. You already have resources and it's time to let the resource be used the way God shows it to be used. Hallelujah. Some of you have the resources that you need right there. And now I'm going to tell you, it's going to be some work because have you ever dug a well? There you go. All right. We have somebody who's dug a well. I imagine it's a little bit of work. I've dug, when I was a kid, I dug a fort. It was a whole lot of work. I never saw so many. I should have been smarter than to dig it right underneath a tree. because but we're on this lot that was all trees, so it was like, I mean, you're just going cutting through these roots forever and ever and ever. So you know, digging a well is not easy. Have you ever drawn water from a well? I know my brother has, with a bucket. I mean, that's some work, okay? But God's going to prosper you for the work when you begin to do it in the way he asked you to do it. When you do it for the purpose that he showed you to do it. And when you use the creativity he's putting in you. Hallelujah. All that was just to kind of bring us a little background, because basically when you're taking new territory, see, the new territory there wasn't actually a physical place because it was the same place, but the new territory was a new idea. It's a new territory. A new idea is a new territory. And he wants you to explore it with the same diligence that you would explore and be go walking. If he said, everything that you tread on, I'll give you. Do it with the same diligence. When you begin to apply the same diligence, and he's probably talking to me, so you guys will get this whole thing for free, okay? Hallelujah. Glory to God. But let me just say something here. It's going to require a little bit of faith. It's going to require a little bit of faith. It's going to require standing into agreement with what Father has already declared. And that's what Acts 13 is about here. I'm going to go down to verse 21. And then they asked, and this is a description being given, and then they asked for a king, and God gave him Saul, the son of Kish, a man of the tribe of Benjamin, for 40 years. See, Israel asked for a king, and God gave them what they were looking for. What they were looking for. Because see, Saul was tall, dark, and handsome. He had to be. He was everything that they wanted from what the eyes could see. This is their anticipation of what our king is going to look like, because he's got to be this, you know, he's got to be tall, dark, and handsome. I tell you what, you know, sometimes you have to be careful what you ask for, because that didn't turn out so good. I met one lady one time, and she married this guy because he was tall, dark, and handsome, and had these six-pack abs. Well, when I met him, okay, which was 20-some years later, he had now a keg where the six-pack had been. He was bald. He was still tall, but he was pasty white, okay? He represented none of the things that she had thought she wanted. See, time changes some things. You got to know what it is that you're asking for. You got to know what it is. But so then the Lord sends and says he anoints David. Guess what? David was handsome, but he was short. Okay? He didn't measure up to what they thought. He was a sheep tender. He had to stay out with the sheep. As a matter of fact, when Samuel came to anoint the next king, they actually didn't even bring David in. That tells you something about where David stood in the family. Seven brothers were brought before Samuel, and Samuel had to go, nope. Because the first one, he said, yep, this one's tall, dark, handsome. It must be the one. And the Lord says, nope. Then the next one, he said, this one's really smart. Nope. This one's really good with the books. Nope. It didn't matter. All seven of them got a no. So now when you're looking at Samuel, Samuel's looking at this situation, and he has to come to a conclusion. Either the Lord missed it and sent him somewhere where there wasn't, or else Jesse's hiding a boy. And he looks at Jesse and he says, Jesse, where's the other son? Where's the son? Because there's a son here that we haven't talked to you. There's a son here. And they said, well, we have to go get him. He's out in the back pasture. And they go get him out of the back pasture. And he brings him in. And the Lord says, this is the one. This is the one. See, we're taking territory. We're erasing mindsets. In order to take territory, you have to erase mindsets. You have to give up the old mindset that kept things enforced and kept things going on the trajectory that they were going, on that track that they were already running on. You have to give up that mindset. And when you give up that mindset, you can suddenly begin to find out what God is actually calling you to. It's not all easy to give up our mindsets. You know, and I don't know. I mean, I don't know how Samuel felt about it. I mean, Samuel did what he always did, what the Lord asked him to do. But I think that his heart probably went to that first one when he said, oh, this surely must be the Lord's anointed. But he had to surrender that mindset because he said, the Lord hasn't anointed any of these. Where's the one? Now, think about it from David's perspective. He's anointed the king, and he has to go right back out to the sheep field. He goes right back out to the sheep. And then later, when they're fighting with Saul, guess who's just sent to just bring the sandwiches? Hey, boy, I know that, you know, I need you. You need to go over there and just bring your brother some sandwiches because, boy, I know you ain't ready for war yet. You ain't ready to get out there in the battle, but I just want you to understand that I'll send your brothers a little love here, okay? Send them a little love. We know you ain't ready for anything, but just send, no. He's anointed king. He's already, in God's eyes, he's the king at that moment. He's been sent out. He's been sent out, and he has to understand in himself. He has to begin to believe in himself in a way that no one is evidencing that they believe in him. There's no one in the land saying anything about David yet, but he has to believe in himself in that moment when he faces Goliath. As he believes in himself, as he says, I'm going to take the territory. Why? Because this thing out here, it doesn't mean nothing. Hallelujah. Well, let me show you why it didn't mean anything. Acts 13 and 22, and then we'll jump over to, Samuel 17. First Kings, First Samuel, we'll find it. But anyway, verse 22. And he removed him, he removed Saul, and raised up David to be their king. Concerning him, he also testified, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my heart. Here's the kicker. Who will do all my will. Who will do all my will. I see that Father's House church who will do all my will. I see that person, that man who will stand up there and say, I will do your will, Lord. Amen. It's in the doing of his will. It's the one. That's what made his heart after the heart of God. That's why his heart was after the heart of God. And the Lord said, this is the thing that I love because what? He will do my will. Even if he does wrong occasionally, you know what? There's not a one of us in here who can say, I have never done wrong. If you've done wrong, raise your hand. You've all done wrong. We've all done wrong. I asked the question wrong. We've all done wrong. If we've done wrong, and the reality is we can't indict David for his wrong. But we have to recognize that something about him caught God's attention, and what caught his attention was that he was ready to do the Father's will. He was ready to believe what the Father asked him to believe. He was ready to take the territory that the Lord said, I have territory for you. I want you to come and I want you to be my king. I want you to declare. And not only that, I want you to bring all of Israel back together in a way that they've not been together yet. See, he's taking territory. He's taking territory. And as he does that, he gives him an opportunity. And the opportunity comes in the form of a giant. So go with me. Go with me to 1 Samuel. Okay. First Samuel 17, I was right. Okay. Glory to God. Something's going right where. Glory to God. In verse, see, and as he was talking, remember, he's out here, he's just bringing the sandwiches. You know, a couple bags of potato chips, a little bit of cheese. I'm sure that that they were grateful, especially the one who's been waiting for those Cheetos to show up. I love me some Cheetos, but I can't do Cheetos no more, so glory to God. 3 and 4. Is that right? Is that how much time you're giving me? 3 and 4? I'm gonna take it. That's gonna be a Father's House 4, okay? So here, see, verse 23 says, and he was talking with him, and he's just bringing the sandwiches, and behold, the champion, the Philistine from Gath, came named Goliath, who was coming up from the army of the Philistines. And he spoke after the same words after David heard him, and he was speaking to them and taunting them and telling them that he was going to own them. See, the enemy wants to come. The enemy's camping on your territory. And he's coming and yelling at you that he owns you. He's coming and telling you that you ain't got a chance, and no matter what you send out, it isn't going to matter because the end's going to be the same. We need to recognize this situation for what it is. When the enemy starts yelling at you, he's only yelling at you because he's already intimidated by you. He's trying to intimidate you back. The enemy is trying to intimidate you back because he's already afraid, because he knows if you recognize who is in you, it's all over for him. When we recognize what's in us, that's when we get to take the territory. When we recognize who we are, that's how we take the territory. And David knew who he was. He recognized what was in him, even when no one else yet. They just thought he was the sandwich boy. He was just bringing the sandwiches. Maybe a slice of cheese. That was all his assignment was. But see, he had a different spirit in him. He had a different spirit in him. Father's House Church, it's time for us to recognize the Spirit of God that's in us. Because He's in us. And that's how we're going to take the territory. That's how we're going to redefine the area that we're in. That's how we're going to redefine the space that we take. Glory to God. And when all the men of Israel saw the man, they yelled as one and made them just terrified. No. They all fled. Fear. Fear came in the camp because of one man over there taunting them. We got a real problem in this nation right now. And the problem is not the coronavirus. The problem is not the violence. The problem is not anything else. The problem is fear. And us responding out of fear instead of responding out of the light that is within us, out of the declaration of who God is within us. And if we begin to sing and prophesy and announce who we are and allow our faith to be epic, it'll be seen as something different. And it's going to change the atmosphere that we're in. It gives the opportunity. See, the Lord spoke something to me, and what he said is, I want you just to simply allow people to see who I am. Now, that's a simple mission. Allow people to see who I am. If we get about letting people see the Father, then all of a sudden they're going to understand the light, and that's what? They don't have to respond in fear no more. They don't have to respond out of fear. They can start responding out of the place where they're going to take something by faith. See, and he rises up here. And I know I had 3 and 4. And David spoke, verse 26, to all who were standing by and said, what will be done for the man who kills this Philistine? And takes away the reproach. Hey, I already see what I'm going to do. I see what y'all didn't. But I know what I'm going to do. So what you going to give me? How are we going to do this? Let's begin to negotiate this. Because I already got my assignment. I know what the Lord is speaking in my heart. I got my assignment. So now it's a matter of who's going to go with me. Hallelujah. My uncle saw my teaching from last week, and he said, "You talk with your hands a whole lot." And I guess I do. He said, "You get excited up there." And that's awesome. I'm glad. I'm glad he notices a difference. So that's awesome. Glory to God. So who is this uncircumcised Philistine? What is this coronavirus that it should be taunting me? What is this situation that I should be so concerned about it? What is this situation that it's owning everything about what I think and see? What is this situation that's causing everybody else to sit on the sideline instead of joining in the fight? That's what he's asking. See, when you're going to take territory, there has to be something in you that may not be in everybody else. When you're going to take territory, you're going to have to own something that no one else is ready to own yet. Because God put it in you. God put it in you. And so his brothers get a little upset with him. And see, somewhere. I don't remember which verse it is. Verse 28. No, actually, that's not what I was looking for, but thank you. I suspect that David had a little bit of an anger issue. I'm just saying, because I don't know anybody else that when they get attacked by a lion and the lion steals the sheep, that they go after the lion and tear the lion apart, grab it up by its beard, and make it let go of the sheep. I'm thinking if the lion got the sheep and the sheep's already gone, just let it go. But no, he said, no, that ain't happening here. I'm the shepherd in the house, and that's not going to happen. So the lion has to come back. And the lion has to let go of what he took because, see, that's part of mine. Territory. It's part of my territory. And when he understands, and he says, and he just rips this lion apart, and he says, that gives me the faith to come up against Goliath. Because, see, I fought the lion, and I fought the bear. Now, when he had fought the lion and he fought the bear, now he has history. He and God have some history. And now that history is going to help him to understand that I'm sending you for this moment. See, the history that you have with God is what's going to help you take the territory you already have. But at the moment that he fought the lion, he didn't have that history yet. All he had was, hey, I've been out here in the field praising you. I've been out here singing some worship songs. I've been out here loving on you. And this big old lion, snaggle-toothed lion comes by here and tries to steal something from me. That ain't happening. See, all he had at the first was just a relationship with the Father. That's what he's calling us to. That's the whole purpose of the things that we're doing here, is to develop this relationship with the Father, because it's out of that relationship that we have with the Father that we can get to the point where we're able to defeat the lion. As we have that relationship with the Father, that's what's going to empower us to start the journey to take the territory to get to the next step, to begin to look like what God called us to look like. It's his purpose. It's his process. He's calling us to seek after him. And as we seek after him, we learn something about his character. And we learn that when God is giving you something, he's not taking it back. See, the giftings and callings of God are without repentance. That's not just about, hey, you got some gift on your life. You got the gift of generosity and God's not going to take that back. He says, I've given you something and I'm not going to take it back. When I give you this territory is already described in my heart. I'm just looking for you to jump in with me and begin to engage it because it's in my heart. I'm not taking it back. It's his purpose. So as you just engage him, as you engage the Father, you learn what it means to no longer be an orphan. And as you learn what it means to no longer be an orphan, now your identity is no longer set in the things that I do. And see, because if his identity was set in the things that he did, what was he doing? He was only bringing the sandwiches. If his identity had been what I'm doing, I'm keeping the sheep, and if some lion takes off with one, that's okay. Just one sheep. Just one sheep. No. You got to fight. You got to have, you know what? It takes something out of you to begin to fight for. But at the same time, that thing that you can't do that's taken out of you is actually building something up in you. Because mostly what is taken up is something you didn't even need in the first place. It's going to take some effort. But you know what? That effort is what builds and creates. You can't... Apollonio, when you're working out, there's a process of tearing down and building up. In other words, when you're working out, you work it out until something in your muscle is torn down. And then the Lord comes and builds back up. And when he builds up, it's going to be bigger and better and greater than it was before. And that's how you get arms that look like his. Hallelujah. You get arms that look like mine from hanging out with the coronavirus. There was body by Fisher, now there's body by Corona. The gyms are open now. Mine is not open till the 29th, but believe me, on the 29th, I will be there. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I don't know how I got off on that, but anyway. God has a purpose and a destiny, and it is going to require some effort. Taking territory, we can sit in here and we can do the shout. You're going to do the shout. We can stomp around in the thing. But you know what? Taking territory is going to require something from us. But it's absolutely worth every bit of what he's called you to be. Because you can't be epic without some effort. You're going to have to do this in order to be epic. We're going to join in with him. And I thank you that everything that he's doing is going to look and be epic, because it's his heart and his desire for you. It's his desire for you to stand forth and show the glory of God. It's not okay for us to look just like our neighbor who's not saved. We should be exceedingly abundantly above and beyond all that they could ask or think, above where they are at. We should be standing in a place of greater, not just physical wealth, but a greater health, a greater understanding, a greater wisdom, a greater light. They should easily be able to see the light in you, even when you first start out. They should see the peace on you and know there's something different. I don't know what it is, but there's something different. I mean, we had a good friend. That's how I got saved. Because why? Because she had a peace on her life I'd never seen before. I knew her well, and there was no peace there before, but all of a sudden she has this peace, and I was like, what drugs are you on? Because I want some. I want in. And then she told me, it's Jesus. It's all about this Jesus. She told me it's about this Jesus. I said, no, man, don't tell me it's about Jesus. She said, but it's about Jesus. Couldn't you come to church with me? Just come talk to me, and we'll talk about Jesus. She wouldn't let up on Jesus. You know what? She was right. It was awesome. Hallelujah. Because why? Simply because there was some peace on her life that I had not seen before. That difference caused me to pay attention. That difference caused us to seek something that we hadn't even known that existed. I had no idea that God could look like that. We need to be the ones that make God look like something that people want. There should be a smile on our face and a smile in our life. Romans 15:13 says this, now joy and peace. I'll just turn here. Let me just turn there with you. Romans 13. Romans 15. Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Fill you with all joy and peace in taking your territory. In taking your territory. In taking back what's yours and establishing what's yours. Amen. There may be something that the enemy has stolen and it's time to take it back. Yeah. It's time to step out with him. It may be something you've never been in a way you've never been before and it's time to step in and occupy. We're going to take it. Let's occupy everything that he has for us so that we can look like something that our neighbor wants. So may the God of hope fill you with all peace and joy in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Ghost. That you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Because see, maybe if you're having a little hard time sometimes getting to that place of peace and getting that place of joy, then there, you have every right to call upon the power of the Holy Spirit to come alongside you and say, Lord, I just need a little bit more of the Holy Spirit to come alongside me right now. And when he comes alongside you, then there's going to be an abundance abounding in you so that you can begin to take what he's already said was yours. So I just encourage you this week. God has already declared it. You get with him and find out what he's declared. When he's declared it and it's for you, you just go in by faith. You go in by faith, by believing. By believing. Believing is what's going to cause us to take our territory. It's not just the prayer. I like what you said. It's not just the prayer. It's the following it up with believing. When we follow it up with believing, he's going to bring it in and he's going to bring it into focus. And as he brings it into focus, that's the one thing you can do. In the midst of your circumstance, you can still focus on what he told you. In the midst of your circumstance, I may be looking at every light bill not being paid and all the stuff that's not going on that is supposed to go on, but I can still look and see, no, wait a second. That may be a fact. But what he's put in here is a truth. And that's what we're going to follow after. We're going to believe the truth.